on 1116 SEN. Crunch Time. Voted four times most outstanding radio show for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
And you've got numbers to come skirting through Collier. He could kick a goal from 30. He could, and he does. Go off the ground. Oh, Higgins! He's come from five deep to take that mark. There's no way he should have been able to take the mark.
Zeeble, who's got a ball at the outer side wing, goes short. Cunnington. And now Boomer Harvey, he's going to run in 45 metres out, aim up the goals and kick it.
That could break their hearts.
And as Thomas flew early but didn't take the mark, he was the first back to his feet though, and he's going to stroll into goal. Good protection, a bounce and then up into the third tier. Bell Chambers the most light. He gave you a glimpse of what is to come, the unbridled talent. He jumped up high into the night sky. Tarrant towards full forward. Thomas again, he flies, and he drags it out of the air to put up his hand for the mark of the night.
Looks great, looks fantastic. Bell Chambers pumps the fist. He kicks the first goal of the final quarter.
Here's little Robin Nahas, got ball to boot. Darren waits, suddenly it all comes together for him in the goal square as he kicks it through out of the air.
It comes away and Ambrose will kick it round his body and kick a goal. And that was McMillan, and there's the siren. The Kangas get home. The Bombers came at them, but North Melbourne held on and they win by 11 points.
Thought we earned our win. The opposition were good. They play a pretty good defensive style of game, and you know, we've got a lot of respect for their capabilities and their assets as a club, and we had to play well to win.
We finally got a great contest on Friday night footy, and after such an uncertain week for their opponents, it was a crucial 4 points for the Roos, and one of their stars, Drew Petrie, will be with us.
I thought we performed okay, yeah. You know, we played a good team. North Melbourne played well. I thought we had our opportunities, but unfortunately didn't take them and probably gave away a few too many easy goals. So, and North Melbourne are a good team and they played better than we did tonight.
He's got his worries on and off the field. Essendon coach James Hurd will be our guest after an improved effort from his underman lineup.
I'm spewing with the way we've been playing at the moment. I'm not the only one, so it's been extremely disappointing and we need to hold one another accountable. We're men, we've got to grow up and act like men.
The player's a really well-loved player around our club, so everyone's kind of heartbroken. But I think they do feel quite relieved that a number of orthopaedic surgeons have now said the judgment that they exercised in it was an appropriate judgment.
Well, I'd love to answer all your questions and give you a full version of events and actually tell you what happened. I can't. Things will come out in the wash-up.
You could actually really have a sort of progression from home and away into sort of playoffs into finals that sorts the wheat from the chaff in a pretty contested way.
At the end of the day, Mick is contracted to coach this football club until the end of the season, and that will happen.
The big news stories roll on. We'll discuss all the big issues coming up in the crunch, including repeat knee injuries, the Swans, the Power, the Tigers. They'll all be on the agenda. And we also assess Hawthorn's chances of a triple premiership with Norm Smith medalist Brian Lake in the box.
He's had a history with mental illness. He's aware that it's something that he's going to need to manage for the rest of his life. But we're really supportive, Mitch, the person at our footy club.
Jeez, I mean, the guy's been criticised for 6 years, so it has to be. He's only human. I mean, if it was me, I would be in Hawaii by now.
And in our spotlight today, the pressures of being in the AFL system in the social media age. Is it too much for some to cope with, and what can we do about it? It's another big edition of Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda, because when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. A glorious morning in Melbourne. Welcome to the MCG, where we all sit together for Crunch Time on this Saturday. It's all thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. Finally, we had an exciting Friday night. It might have been error-ridden, but it was a close game, and the Bombers really had a crack against North Melbourne before falling short. James Hurd will be our headline guest this morning. Drew Petrie will also be with us, and Brian Lake a little bit later. But our special guests are always with us. Dermot Brereton.
Special guest.
David King and Mark Robinson. Robbo, just quickly to you before we get into the boys and their reflections on last night. Later on in the spotlight, we're going to talk about something that you touched on, wrote about in depth this morning in the paper in the Herald Sun.
Which stemmed from a discussion Nathan Buckley and Paul Roos had on 360 on Monday night. About Buckley protecting his players. The discussion last week with Dermot and Terry about where is Jesse White? Okay, and that got in my head. And anyway, I spoke to a couple of club officials and written a story about the stress of players in the modern day. The formal footballers like you do might shake your head and say, you know, harden up, young fella. But it's a different world. It's a different world. And clubs are... Clubs have got issues with players and their stress levels.
Hashtag brutal is the headline. Social media, AFL's most damaging opponent.
Players are always going to attempt to capitalise on a frailty in their opposition.
No doubt.
Always.
It's a vicious game that you've got to play at that level.
You're talking about the public, though, aren't you?
I'm talking about the general media and the public.
The media.
The media, and that includes social media mainly, but everyone's to blame.
Oh, media's never been stronger, though. This is in the history of our sport. Right now, the media has never, ever wielded more power than right at this very moment.
I agree.
That discussion coming up, 13 minutes past 11. Let's talk about last night. So it was a contest. There was plenty of mistakes, mate. Kingy, did we learn anything about either of the two teams significant as far as the years?
Yeah, I think we did. Look, for me, I thought both clubs came out of it pretty well last night. I think the Bombers have been playing a very ordinary brand of football for the first 6 weeks. And last night they learnt that when they play on and play with some dare, like they did in the first quarter, they score. And when they play with handball and overlap, like they did in the second half, they score. And they are a completely different team to the rubbish we've seen for 6 weeks.
Because you were pretty big on them, weren't you, in the pre-season?
Well, they've got strength areas. They're actually, when you look at their list or their 18 that go out on the field, they're actually pretty well stocked for talent. And Chapman coming back into that side, and Kearney's only going to help that. Everyone will talk about Myers and Hocking as well, but
Zaharakis,
there's plenty to come back in. But look at the season. Before last night, they were 17th for contested footy and clearances, so they're not winning it. They can't move the ball. They're 15th at scoring from their defensive half. They kick lateral and backwards, second most in the competition. They've got the worst recorded score rate per inside 50 entry that's ever been recorded.
Yeah, they're bad at scoring.
That's horrendous. That means you basically haven't got a brand of footy. It's as simple as that.
But it also means personnel too. In the front half, especially...
I don't think it does. I disagree with you.
No, there's two things they lack for in the forward line. They lack for a clever, small forward. The amount of times the ball hit the deck and North Melbourne's slightly smaller backmen were able to clear it as if they were roving backmen and didn't really get a lot of heat put on them. And the other thing they have, and I know they're trying to make Ambrose this player, they don't have a natural forward who draws the footy. So if they're under pressure in the back line, like every team has a back line that cops pressure and heat at some stage. And what did you do as a backman when you were under pressure and you had two blokes pushing you out to the boundary and you've got the ball and you think, I've got to unload this within three steps. What did you want?
But they don't... All this
stuff, they need a player to draw the footy from that.
But all that you're saying is not how they play. That's actually not how they play.
But you need it. But you need one of those players.
You might be right, but that's not Essendon. Essendon choose to hang on to the ball and chip the ball around, have more than 100 marks a week and defend through possession. I can understand if they're dumping it down the line and getting beaten. Nothing wrong with getting beaten if you're not good enough. But in my eyes, they're good enough and they're playing a false brand of footy, or have been for nearly 18 months.
They didn't last night, mate. They dumped it down the wing.
That's why I said the first six rounds.
And ignored the short ball. They ignored it and went longer to a contest. Joe Danaher drawing the ball. Joe Danaher is what, 20? 20 years ago. Say he's 21, right?
Yep.
He's 21. He's played 30-odd
games.
Third season. He's that guy,
He'll be a star.
He will develop into that player. But right now, he can't do it.
See, I don't know if he will develop into that player who hits the wings. You know, and I'm going to go to the nth degree.
He's got good wheels.
He didn't come up more last night, though, didn't he?
Early. He did early. Remember when he swung onto the right foot and it automatically played on and got over the back and Collier kicked a goal? That was fantastic. Tell me another time he came up to meet it like that. Apart from when they were pressed up.
No, well, he was up the halfback flank.
So what they have is, what I'm saying, in your mind's eye, picture Nick Riewoldt, how he hits the wings.
Nick's
just pick one of the best centre forwards that's ever played the game.
I did say Royce Hart, for example.
I did say we're going to the nth degree to show you the style of player. Now they want to. Well, Gunston does it for Hawthorn.
We are
talking special talents there.
All you need is somebody who presents up to the wing or beyond from the forward line and draws the footy.
So
they don't have that.
So who fills their spots? Patrick Ambrose, he's one of the biggest competitors in the competition. But he doesn't kick, but he doesn't kick goals, and he doesn't let up and take marks. He just doesn't. Joe's too young. He can't do it for a consistent for a game.
But and Carlisle, although he wasn't there, loiters in the forward line.
He's
the
ball, a loiterer. Good
and the,
word.
And the ball has to almost drop steeply
no
on
doubt.
Him.
No doubt.
You want the numbers on those two guys. Danaher wins 1 in every 10 one-on-ones. It's the worst ranked of the top 25 targets in the competition. And Carlisle wins 1 in every 9. So he's third worst ranked. So one-on-one... They're almost
they're not great,
non-existent.
So yeah, but that's to do with the methods getting in there fairly slow.
But they're genuine one-on-ones, mate. It's
but when the ball gets in there
you
slow,
can't be winning 1 of 10.
Yeah, that's not good.
But they changed the way they played last against the North Melbourne team.
Last night, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, last night
I
was
know.
Totally different.
I
last
know.
Night in the first quarter, they said, we're just going to go. We're going to get in there quick, get it over the back, what every other team's doing in the competition. And they scored 5 goals from 12 entries. It was a new Essendon. You thought, hang on, where's this been? And that's probably the disappointing part for me. Where's this been? And then the second half...
But it was frantic. They couldn't even keep it up in the second quarter.
Well, they kept it going the second half. Their overlap run, their whole numbers changed in the second half. They became a high handball team. They only took 26 marks in the second half. So every time they got it, they were gone by hand.
They were under siege for a lot of that period in that second half.
Oh,
they were under siege, mate.
Gee, I'll tell you what, if that handball at centre-half forward last night from Hibbard hits Stanton, he has a shot from 50 metres out to put them in front. That was, I reckon,
it was a great
17,
handle.
18 minutes into the last quarter. So they couldn't have been too far off, is what I'm saying.
Well, North Melbourne missed a lot of shots of goal. Mm. What I thought Essendon did very well last night was move the ball quick. And when they didn't, you were saying, move it, move it, move it.
Mm.
Right? But when you're going to move it quick and you haven't got the leg speed, it runs out. Because North Melbourne make adjustments. North Melbourne, tell me why they did this, Kingy. North Melbourne, quick moves. Last night, they weren't.
Mm.
They were stop, short, go short.
We noticed it from the very start.
It was like 2 minutes into the game. Well, Essendon got control. 10 minutes into the game, North Melbourne were chip, 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 chip. It was like they rested.
Last week against Richmond, early in the game, not so much as it progressed, but they played very straight lines out of the back line. The ball gets into the back pocket, and they went straight down the line. There almost was a... I'm not going to take the risk.
Mm. Well, who did we have post-match that we asked him about? The North Melbourne
Who did we
player.
Have? Anthony.
Scotty Thompson.
12 hours.
Scotty Thompson.
Scotty Thompson. Well, I was in the I got into the...
That's
he agreed. He
That's
agreed.
That's
yeah. Well done. Good hosting. Hosting 101.
I think... Whatever
but
his name
did.
Was.
But they did. They played straight down the lines, North Melbourne, and they just weren't going to get... bitten by turnover.
So is that, I mean, they won the game, so do you say that was a good tactic or not?
Well,
yes, I would.
If you win the game, they didn't play well, but what, they played well enough, but what they have is contested players down the line. So rather than take the risk and burn teams right through the middle, 1 out of every 3 might burn you. Mm. They're saying, no burning. No small percentage of getting burnt through the middle. We'll kick it down the line. Goldstein can mark it, or Petrie, or if we get a one-on-one with Zeeble, there'll come a time when they do have to gear up.
They were more polished around the ball. They had greater depth around the ball. As the game went on, seriously, they should have been 6 goals up at stages.
Zeeble wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
Kangaroos get beaten last night.
Yeah, he was an enormous influence. Yeah.
We should celebrate that, though, because we've been crying out for this forever. Their midfielders, their leaders to actually lead physically and demandingly. They
played as a good group last night. Mm. Cunnington played well. Zeeble played well.
Yep.
And Gibson had some moments.
About when he marked the ball with three opponents around him?
Yeah.
I mean, talking about moments.
Jonathan Brown said that was the game last night.
Yeah, that's a pretty good argument, that.
He said if he drops that, they score and the heads drop. Game on.
They're
2 points of difference.
They're coming.
Trouble.
Yeah, it was a really... He played really well, Gibson.
They hit the lead, the Bombers, in the third quarter.
Yeah, they did.
And they were unable to sustain that, but they came back again. I just thought they were really brave last night.
They got Ashby. They're going with one speedster in Collier.
Collier.
Merritt's fast, and he was just there to... Keep the pressure on. He did a really good job, but he's not a goal kicker. There's not a lot of natural goal kickers. They had a lot of young players last night. Langford, Ashby, you know, they were at McKernan. McKernan rucked better than Bell Chambers last night, but we found out after the game. But Bell Chambers has got a crack. Had a crack behind his knee. Heard said he cracked it in the first round. Because Bell Chambers has been poor. Mm. He's been a poor ruckman. And so that's why they went with McKernan last night. But can McKernan hold his spot? I don't know.
Is that about... I mean, Carlisle will come back into the team. But so does McKernan hold his spot when Carlisle comes back?
He'll then contest with the ruckman. And they'll go with Tom Bell Chambers. So McKernan will go back.
Yeah, I look at... When the ruckman's in there, whichever way the ball goes, even if the ruckman has a nil-all draw, whichever way the ball goes out of the centre, I look and say that's your more important ruckman. And I thought it went Essendon's way occasionally when Bell Chambers was in there. I still prefer him in the centre ruck last night.
Yeah. Goldstein wasn't dominant in the game.
No, he wasn't. But what happens is when the ball drops...
That happens every
and
week.
You jump in, you get your ruckman who jumps in, makes the nil-all draw, it kind of drops to the area where you want it to drop, and North Melbourne were clearing it. So you'd have to say that he did his job, Goldstein.
Oh, yeah, but he's been one of the form players in the competition. So
where's Michael Hurley right now?
I thought he was good last night. You didn't
yeah,
like his game?
Yeah, I thought...
He's in trouble early. His first quarter, he got ran around by Jared Waite. He was calling for the oxygen mask.
Yeah, he was calling.
Oh, if Waite had a glove to fear cleanly, Waite he might have been in a bit of trouble there.
He had an almost night, Waite.
Yeah, the nearly night. He kicked one goal too. It was the best one goal game you've seen for a long time. He could have kicked seven last night.
He might have needed a few more because his average over the next two might be great. Will he get anything for that? But it's a worry when the umpire reports you in this day.
Yeah,
age.
But that's okay. The umpires want to do it because it looked. You know what? It looked. Bad.
It wasn't a bad dastardly deed, but unfortunately,
$1,000. Move on.
Unfortunately, punched him in the back of the head.
Yeah, it was no doubt. $1,500 punch.
Quasi-deliberately.
Did Ray cost them a significant amount, Essendon, last night?
I thought the McKernan mark was there.
That was the weight one, though. The weight for a kick at the other end.
Yeah. I'm a rate. Yeah, but you talk about pivotal times of the game. McKernan's denied that.
In the square.
It goes down the other end. They score, and they score the next four.
Some players can sell it well, and some don't. When Sean McKernan looks at me and says, that was a mark, it's more apologetically. It's not, that was a mark. Give me the ball. He was never going to get paid that mark.
North Melbourne finished fourth last year, or got the double chance. Are they a better team this year? Are they? Do you think they'll get a double chance again and be a chance for a crack, or have we got severe doubts about them?
You don't have to be playing as well as you were seasons end, apart from the very final game they played, seasons end right now. What you need to be doing is playing a semblance of good footy
building
and winning games. Mm. You need to be banking 4 points along the way.
I reckon they'd be wrapped last night to bank the 4 points without Daniel Wells and Nick Del Santo.
Mm. Yep.
They're really important players. If they just beat those teams that were supposed to be around them, like an Essendon, like a Richmond, That's just good football.
Yep.
Okay, we'll take the 4 points. We'll move on now. We'll forget about that. Wells, where are you? Mm. Dal's going to be some time. Mm. I hope Lachie Hansen can stay on the park. Because when Lachie Hansen plays and he plays well, we've had him on this show before, when he plays well...